Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. Ezra chapter number 3. And verse 10, Ezra chapter 3 and verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. How many can concur with that tonight? And how many can also concur with this? For his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. All the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. I want to use these verses of Scripture to speak, preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost for the next little while. Irreplaceable sources of power. Irreplaceable sources of power. Would you pray with me right now that the Holy Ghost would have its way in the remainder of this service tonight? Let's pray. God, I'm asking you to touch us right now. Let your word go forth with liberty and power and touch the lives of people that have gathered in this assembly tonight. Pray, God, that you would anoint and bless it to the hearts of every person. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands to him and give him praise? Everybody, clap your hands. Thank you for standing. And you may be seated. The laying of the foundation of the second temple marked a significant milestone in the history of the nation of Israel. This was an occasion for victory, and everyone present was caught up in the euphoria of the moment. It was a day of great festivity and joy and tremendous celebration. As the priests dressed in their holy regalia began to play the trumpets in Zion, and those in charge of the music began to play the cymbals and their instruments and worship according, as the scripture says, of the ordinances of King David, who was king of Israel. Or as the Hebrew states, under the direction of David, which simply means that all the worship that was taking place, all the worship that was done according to the model that was already exampled and established by King David. How many knows that David was a worshiper? And up until the times of David, worship was not nearly as open and free and liberating as it was after David. And so David ushered in a new wave of worship in the nation of Israel. And they said, we're going to worship after the order, the direction, the example that is set before us by David. So by looking at these verses and reading this story, it can easily be said that these folks were having church. They were praising God. And how many knows that worship, praise unto the Lord, liberty and giving praise to God, not feeling inhibited, is part of really having church. I wouldn't want to have church without there being real, true, authentic, heartfelt, sincere worship as we come to the house of God. I believe that's the attitude that we ought to come to the house of God with, is with an attitude of praise and thanksgiving. The scripture admonishes us, David being the writer of the psalm, he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. When we come to the house of God, we don't come with a downtrodden attitude. When we come to the house of God, we don't come with a frown upon our face. When we come to the house of God, though we may be burdened, we put those burdens aside because we know that we can get happy in the house of the Lord. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So by all appearances, they were having an old-fashioned church service here. So much so that the Bible states that they began to shout for joy. And as they rejoiced in the knowledge that they could again worship without restrictions, without limitations placed upon them by their Babylonian captors. For some 70 years they had been in the captivity of Babylon and had not been able to feel the freedom of worship. They had not been able to respond the way that they knew that they should respond in giving praise and singing and rejoicing. In fact, one scripture in the Bible says that when these people that were taunting them, their captors, the Babylonians, were taunting them and chiding with them and said, sing us one of those songs that you sing when you go to church. Sing us one of those melodies that you sing in the house of your God. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the Bible says that rather than singing, they hung their harps upon the willows. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I'm going to tell you, the devil always wants to stop worship. And when he does, he wants to taunt us. And he wants to jibe us and spur us and say, you know, you really used to worship God. You used to feel freedom. You used to be happy. You used to feel the joy of the Lord. But look at you now. I've got you bound up. I've got you restricted. But I feel like somebody's going to break those bands tonight. I feel like before this service is over, somebody's going to get the shout back. Somebody's going to get the worship back. Somebody's going to get their song back. Yeah, we may be in a strange land, but we can still sing. We may be in a world that is filled with sin and darkness, but we can still shout and rejoice because we're not of this world. Amen. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims and we're sojourners that is looking for a better place and a better land so we can sing the Lord's song even in a strange land. Oh, yeah. Somebody ought to cup their hands around their mouth right now and give out a shout of praise to the Lord. God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They were shouting, they were rejoicing. However, in the midst of this joyous atmosphere, suddenly a strange and even eerie sound could be heard intermingled with their praises. It was the sound of people weeping. For the Bible declares that there was a group of venerated elders that began to weep and wail in a loud voice. They could not restrain themselves, knowing that this ceremony in some way was inferior to the dedication of Solomon's temple, that it came before Zerubbabel's temple. And how that at the dedication of that temple, when the priest began to pray and they began to go through their ceremony of dedicating this temple, that the Shekinah glory of the Lord swept into that house so that they that were ministering had to stop and yield to it, and they could not bear to minister because the glory and the Shekinah of the Lord was so thick in that place. No, I don't believe that the weeping that we read about here in Ezra was weeping to rain upon the parade of the younger generation. But I believe that the weeping was rather bitter realization that some very important elements were lacking in this second temple. Oh, there would be singing. There would be sacrifice, there would be ritual, there would be all the traditions, there would be the ceremony and the sanctimony of everything that had existed in Solomon's temple. But there was at least four things that were absent. Four things that were present in the tabernacle of Moses and then in Solomon's temple that were absent now in this second temple. This second temple lacked the divine fire from heaven that would fall upon the sacrifice. It lacked the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of the Lord would dwell between the cherubs that were over it. It lacked the glory cloud or the Shekinah, and it lacked Urim and Thummim, which was a method where the priests could receive direction from the Lord. And the dreadful knowledge that these important elements would be missing from the house of God was more than these ancient elders could bear. For what was an altar without divine fire upon it? And what was the holies of holies without the Ark of the Covenant representative of the presence of God? What was a place of worship without the glory of the Lord? What is the priesthood without divine guidance and direction from God? They knew that without these essential elements, all temple worship would eventually degenerate into dead, lifeless ritualism and ceremony and just be a custom and a tradition. And the joy of the moment could not outweigh the reality of the absence of what really made the temple the house of God. Needless to say, this temple never reached the glory and the apex that the former temple did. Though Herod, when he came along, he would spend large sums of money to refurbish it and make it larger and to make it more lavish, but it's still lacks something. Let me just stop and say that a spiritual house is not measured by how much money it has in its coffers. It's not measured by the technology that it acquires or the intellectualism that it possesses or the new programs that it implements. But my Bible says, as the prophet Zechariah began, as he was moved on the Holy Ghost to speak as an oracle of God, he said, not by might, nor yet by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by my human strength, not my ability, not my intellectualism, not my know-how, and not my invention, and not my abilities, but I am praying that the Spirit of the Lord would sweep into this place, because it's only by the Spirit and the power of God that lives can be set free. It's only by the Spirit and power of God that there can really truly be deliverance in somebody's life, because my Bible said, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. It tells me that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Don't tell me that you can be free from sin and not have the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me that you can really have liberty and not have the Holy Ghost. I'm not preaching it, amen, as just a spare tire tonight, but I'm telling you, you need the Holy Ghost. It's essential, and you can receive the power of God in this place this evening. Hallelujah, he's still pouring the Holy Ghost out. And I still believe in an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. I still believe that's the most important thing that can happen in a church service. That's the most important thing that can happen around here, is to have an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost in this place. Can I tell you that the moving of the Holy Ghost is still the defining characteristic of an apostolic church? The operation of the Spirit cannot be substituted by sensationalism. Amen. I'm not against productions. I'm not against programs. I'm not against even technology to some degree in the church. I'm not against doing whatever you can to enhance and make things better and state of the art. But I'm going to tell you, none of that takes the place of the Spirit and the power of God. Human ingenuity cannot substitute it. Dramatic performances cannot substitute it, because the church does not operate on talents. It does not operate on powerful personalities. It does not operate on charisma. And I believe these are all things that God could possibly use at times if they're anointed and submitted and humbled before Him. But it is established, and it will always be sustained by the moving of the Holy Ghost. This church was born in the Holy Ghost. And 33 AD, in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, the Bible said, like a rushing mighty wind, it swept over the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all 120. Nobody was left out. I wonder what would happen in this place tonight if everybody would get under the influence of the Holy Ghost. What kind of church service could we have tonight? What kind of power could be in this place tonight? What kind of victory you'd walk out of here with? What kind of miracles could we have in the house of the Lord this evening if all was filled with the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. And in this hour, we must constantly, I believe, guard against the gradual acceptance of an inferior Pentecostal experience which bears only a similitude of its original form. We cannot afford to allow humanistic ideals to replace the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We cannot allow programs and church growth philosophies to replace prayer. We cannot allow the power of positive thinking to replace our faith and trust in God. No, there's no substitute for an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. These four elements that I have mentioned to you, I believe, are closely related to the working and the flow of the Spirit in the church. The Spirit is the common denominator that binds together and builds up the house of God. Without it, we're nothing. Without it, matter of fact, we can't compete. Amen. These venerated elders, they begin to weep with the knowledge that the next generation would never experience this divine fire. They would never have this old-fashioned glory of God. They would never experience worship as they once had. I don't want it to be said of us that we talk about yesterday, and we talk about 15 years ago, and we talk about experiences that we had in the distant past. But God, help us to have a present-day experience. Help us to have a present-day Holy Ghost experience. Help us to have a present day revival. Help us to have an up to date church. Help us, oh God, to have the power and the anointing that they had back then. If you want that, why don't you wave your hand to Him right now? Oh, lift up your voice and let's talk to the Lord for a moment. Somebody said, why are you folks so passionate? Why do you push so hard? Why are you so, a good word is intense. Intense. I'm going to tell you what. People don't throw off on athletes for their intensity. Matter of fact, if they show a blasé attitude, they begin to ridicule them for the lack of concern. Their lack of will to win. They're noted for their intensity. People don't throw off on business people that are intense. In fact, we throw off on people that are sluggards. So why should I come to the house of God? Why should I come to church? I'm going to tell you, this is a dog-eat-dog world that we're living in. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to get up early and stay up late. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to be intense about it. Can somebody say amen? So why is it that we become docile when we walk through these doors? Why is it that we become gentle as lambs when we walk through these doors? Why is it acceptable when you come to the house of God that you can plump down on a pew and twiddle your thumbs and call that church? I say no. If I'm going to be intense about anything, it's going to be the things of God. It's going to be the things of the church. It's going to be living for the Lord. The Bible said you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. Amen. Some ask, why is it that you folks are so dogmatic about the doctrine? Why is it that you believe that it's so distinct? Why is it that you believe that it has to be so defined? I mean, why isn't that you're so accepting of just anything? Because the Bible's not. That's why. Amen. It said, narrow is the way and narrow is the gate. It didn't say broad is the way to heaven. It said narrow is the way. It says that he said, I am the door. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. You can't get to heaven outside of him. You can't choose your own road. But if you're going to make it, you're going to have to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We used to sing an old song in Pentecost. It was 1-1-1. Anybody remember that? One way to God. 1-1-1. One way to God. Water and the Spirit. One way to God. Amen. We ought to start singing some of those songs again. 1-1-1, because some of you forgot that there's just one way, amen, to get into the kingdom of God. It's not a multiple choice. There's not multiple roads that we're going to all end up the same place. Amen. There's only one way to get into the kingdom of God. He looked at Nicodemus right in the eyes and said, I know you're a religious man, but can I tell you that you must be born again of water and of spirit to see the kingdom of heaven. One way to God. Praise God. That's why we're dogmatic. That's why we're so intense about it, because it's not a multiple choice deal. We can't decide. Who are you to redefine the Bible? Praise God. Amen. We got to take it for what it says, because it's this book that's going to judge us. I said it's this book that's going to judge us. It's not Dr. Sigma Fruit that tells you whatever you want to hear that's going to judge you in the end or get you in on a pass. Amen. No, that's not going to happen. But you're going to have to be obedient to this book. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, is that Dr. Sigmund Fruit, does he know God? Does he even know how to hear the voice of God? Does he know anything about the Spirit of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want the truth, because it's the truth that makes me free. I know I've said it before, but it didn't just say that it would set you free. It said it'd make you free. Come on. Some of you, you tried in your own ability to get off drugs, to get off alcohol, to quit chasing wild women and quit smoking dope, but you couldn't do it on your own, because you can't set yourself free. You needed something to make you free. And when the truth came into your life, it brought you out of darkness and placed you into this marvelous light. You didn't do that. God did that. I said, you couldn't have done that. God did that. I've talked to people. They said, well, I'm gonna figure this out. I'm gonna do this my own way. I'm gonna get off this myself. I'm gonna do this my way. I want to say, you can't do it your way. That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen like that. You got to yield yourself to God. You got to surrender yourself to the Lord. You got to say, not my will, but thy will be done. You got to come to an old-fashioned altar and get loose from your pride and be willing to weep hot tears. Amen. And be willing to get down and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm nothing but a filthy, wretched sinner. But I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need you to save me. That's how all of us come into the kingdom of God. There's not a fancy way to come in. Amen. You can't come in through the back door. Amen. We don't have a celebrity entrance. You don't come in through the kitchen into God's kingdom. I've been in important restaurants before, and they had dignitaries or maybe celebrities or one occasion ball players that came in through the kitchen entrance, walked in like they owned the place. Sit down there, got first-rate service. Got their food ahead of me, and I'd been there half hour before them. Kind of irritating. But you know what? God doesn't have any respecter of person. Oh, no. It's the same for everybody. Amen. I said it's the same for everybody. There's no backdoor entrances into the kingdom of God. You don't get in because you're kin to somebody else that is in. Amen. But everybody that's in God's kingdom is first generation. That's right. Amen. There's no grandkids. There's no great grandkids. If you get in, it's because you was born in this thing. I'm talking about being born again. I said I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about all things being new. Don't tell me you got in the kingdom of God and you're still a whiskey sipper and you're still smoking cigarettes and you're 6 months, 5 months, 10 months down the road and you're still trying to decide whether or not you can get off the things of this world. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost really comes in, it takes control of your life. And you'll be saying with the rest of us, oh, what a difference that the Holy Ghost makes. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of this truth. I know some of you are, but I'm not ashamed of this truth. I'm not intimidated to preach this truth. I'm not scared to stand up for this truth. I know you want a pretty Pentecost, but I'm telling you, if we're going to have a move of God, we're going to have to go back to our roots and just have an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what brought this thing to this point. It wasn't a bunch of stoics that sat back with a skeptic mindset and said, oh, come on, preacher, tell me something fancy. Move me, entertain me. But it was people that knew how to shout. It was people that knew how to worship. It was people that knew how to get a hold of God. It was people that knew how to pray. It was people that knew how to wait in the presence of the Lord. Zerubbabel, the building's beautiful. The preaching was splendid. The choir was decked out. The service was well planned and orchestrated. But can I ask you a question, Zerubbabel? Where's the glory? Where's the power of God? Where's the anointing that we used to know? I don't want smoke and mirrors. I don't want strobe lights and performance. And again, I'm not against enhancement, all of that. I'm not in the cave. I'm just telling you, nothing can take the place of a move of God. And I'm so sick of people that have such a pride and arrogance and nothing to be prideful about. Nothing in this world to be prideful about. It's sickening in the face of God, because we all need His mercy and we all need His grace. I said we all need His mercy. And we all need His grace. And we better get some fresh fire from heaven in this house and make room for an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. Stand with me if you would. I want to remind you, I know I probably used this story in the past. I'm kind of like Brother Weeks. If I can't remember I did, I know you probably can't remember I did. But there was a wealthy businessman in the city of London that was going to take a group of kids that had never had the opportunity to go and see the ocean. So they would be traveling by bus down from the inner city to the shoreline of the sea. When they got there, they spent the afternoon playing in the sand and walking and running back and forth in the waves and the water. And when they was riding the bus back, man was walking through the businessman was walking through the seats of the bus, and he was talking to different ones and asking them about their day and how they enjoyed themselves. And he noticed one little boy sitting there with a water bottle that was half full. It was dirty on the outside. He said, "Son, what do you have there?" He said, "My mother's never been to the ocean. And I thought I'd bring back some of the ocean so that she could see it." He said, "Well, that's fantastic." He said, "That's neat." He said, "Let me ask you, why is the bottle only half full?" And what that little boy replied was profound. He said, "Well, I thought I'd leave room for the tide to come in." I'm going to tell you, church, with everything we do, we better leave room for the tide. We better leave room for a move of the Holy Ghost. We better always stay open to the Spirit of God having its way. The presence of the Lord sweeping into a place. And the work of God being done, because there's a work that can take place in the Spirit that doesn't happen any other way. Come on, there's things that can happen when the Holy Ghost moves that will not happen any other way. Oh, come on, help us right now, God, in this place. Let your Spirit sweep over this house. Everybody raise your hands to the Lord. Let's pray for a rushing mighty wind to sweep through this place. Let's pray for a presence of God to baptize this house tonight. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord, have your way in this house. Is there others that would like to join us around this altar tonight? We're going to let the Spirit of the Lord have its way here for a few moments. Come on, let's make our way down here and let the Lord move and let the Lord work. Let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord minister. Let the Spirit of the Lord touch our lives again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.